the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, we gather to, of course, celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, as we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. This week, we had the Ascension. As I mentioned in my little note to all of you, St. Simeon Metaphrastes in the pre-communion prayer, it's the third pre-communion prayer in the Russian Typikon, says that through the Ascension, the flesh of our Lord and God and Savior was deified. And that's an amazing thing, that the flesh. Now, the Savior took on flesh, and he was fully human, and he was fully man, and through the his miraculous conception, he took flesh from the Virgin Mary, and through his life, he sanctified and purified the flesh. But in the end, it was at the Ascension that his flesh was deified. And based on this very remarkable statement and revelation, we await the deification of our flesh. And we have a very long tradition of deification that was taught by the Holy Fathers. And basically what they taught is that through unceasing prayer. Now, when I say unceasing prayer, I'm talking about a prayer that essentially enters into a kind of silence before the throne of God. And through this unceasing prayer, the divine energies, the Holy Spirit and all the divine energies would enter into those practicing this ascetical feat, and they would become deified. So we have this remarkable theology. And today we celebrate our patron saint, St. John the Russian, and confessor, who was born in Russia in 1690, and he was raised in piety and love for the Church, continuously being taken by his parents to the divine services, and hearing lives of the saints in his own home. And so it is, he was raised in a remarkable and beautiful piety. And when he attained the age of 16, of maturity, he was called into the military service. And he served as a simple soldier. And this was in the time of Peter the Great. And there rose up this Russo-Turkish war. And in 1711, he was conscripted, and he was sent into this battlefield. And there he labored and was captured by the Tartars, and he was enslaved by a Turkish cavalry officer. And then he was removed by his captor to Asia Minor in the village of Prokopium. And as you can well imagine, we know, I think, even from the little that we know about Turkish history, we know that the Turks really hated the Christians. And they despised them, and they were brutal and cruel in attempting to convert them to Islam. Or, more importantly, to convince them and to urge them to reject their faith, their Christian faith, faith in the Lord. And so his captor, who was called the Aga, or master, attempted to force conversion upon St. John the Russian. And he used a combination of flattery and rewards that he might receive if he were to reject our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and enter into Islam. And that didn't work. And so he began beating him cruelly and tortured him, and that didn't work. And finally, St. John, in his weakened state, spoke to him very boldly. He says, You cannot turn me from my holy faith by threats, nor promises of riches and pleasures, nor tortures and pain. I will obey your orders willingly if you will leave me free to follow my religion. I would rather surrender my head to you than change my faith. I was born a Christian, and I shall die a Christian. And by a miraculous event, the Aga decided to stop his persecutions. But what he did is he assigned him his room in a stable with the cows and the horses and whatever animals were there, and without a bed and without covers and so on. And he lived there. And St. John was a remarkable person, we know. And he transformed in his love of God, and by the power of his faith, he turned this stable into an image, we could even say an icon of the nativity of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And he rejoiced at being able to live in the simplicity and to be with these animals that surrounded our Savior at birth. And in his remarkable feat of prayer and humility, he became little by little sanctified and holy. And of course, he then, at that point, fulfilled all of the obediences from his master. And at times when his master was abusive, he endured the afflictions with humility and patience. And by this process, he transformed his inner life. And he became more and more in the image of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who suffered pain and suffered humiliation and rejection and mockery and crucifixion. And so he was able to overcome all the temptations of responding in anger and in frustration and hostility, and internalized the sufferings in such a way that he was transformed. And in his transformation, of course, he exuded love, profound love, love way beyond the love of the emotions and the flesh, but a spiritual love. And that spiritual love transformed everything around him. And it transformed the household of the Aga. There's one account where the Aga began to really love him, actually. He responded in love. He started to treat him well and favored him. And at one point, so the Aga, who did not repent with regard to his religion, but he repented with regard to his accusations and his abuse. And he even offered John to an apartment, a little apartment where he could live away from the stable and be in more comfort. And of course, John rejected this. And he rejected it because he had found salvation in the manger of the Lord. The manger of the Lord gave birth to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And it gave birth, spiritual birth, to St. John. And but continued. There was an account of St. John who was helping the Aga with his horses and bridling them up. And the Aga turned to him. He said, "You know, my daughter has been married for over 2 years and she has no children." And the Aga, of course, considered this to be a curse, that she didn't have children. And John, of course, with his love and humility, nodded in understanding and went and prayed deeply and continuously. And 2 months later, the Aga told him, "It's amazing, my daughter is now with child. And what a beautiful thing. And of course, the Agha wasn't able to draw the connection, but nevertheless, this happened. And then there's another wonderful story about St. John, which is that the Agha, realizing that he had so many blessings that had been coming upon his household, he had the blessing of prosperity, there was love and compassion in his family that hadn't been there ever before, and he decided to go to Mecca to offer and for on a pilgrimage, which is fascinating. He saw the fruits of John's prayers and his love, but he didn't understand the source. So he thought he would go to Mecca, and being wealthy, he rented an apartment and then went to all of the various services and celebrations. And one night toward the end of his pilgrimage, he came into his apartment. He passed through one locked door and then through another locked door. And there on the table in the second room that he entered was a plate, a copper plate, filled with pilaf. Which the Agha loved. He loved the pilaf that was served by his dear wife and his servants in their household. But he marveled, because when he looked at the plate, he saw that the copper plate had the inscription from the same as the plates that he had in his own household. And he thought, my word, this plate is from my household. And so he ate this, and then the next day he left Mecca and went home, and in his heart, he wanted so much to share this remarkable event with his wife. And so here he is, heading home, and finally gets home, and he tells his wife what had happened, and he took the plate out of his bag and compared it to the plates from his own table, and it was clearly a plate from his table. And his dear wife said to him, my word, on your birthday, your being absent, I had a banquet in your favor. And we, of course, set a place for you, and we put food on it. And John was asked to serve the table that evening. And when he saw your plate full, knowing you're not there, he asked if he could take the plate. And she said, I thought, of course, he was going to bring it to some poor person to feed them and to share this feast with them. And it turns out that what he did is he went into his manger, into his stable, and he put the plate down, and he prayed. And he prayed with such intensity and power that the plate went and disappeared. And that plate was translated by the prayers of St. John the Russian to the apartment in Mecca. And so the Agha and his dear wife marveled at this, and of course their love for John increased significantly, and yet they couldn't understand. They could not understand that this was not the fruits of their, of Islam, but it was the fruits of the faith and the love of John the Russian. So his life continued on, and he actually died at the age of 40, which means he was in that household about probably less than 20 years, probably like 15, 16 years. And one of the other elements, which I think is very beautiful, is that the Greek population, the Islam, as much as they wanted to force conversion on the Greeks, they did allow them to have little churches. And there was a small church dedicated to St. George, the great martyr, near the village. And the Agha, as he came to love and trust John, allowed him to go there on Saturdays to the divine services and to receive Holy Communion. And so when John fell sick and was clearly dying in his manger in the stable, they called the priest from St. George's church to bring him Holy Communion. This is his last request. And the priest, being very nervous about bringing the holy gifts into a Turkish household, took an apple and he carved the top of it out. And he took out some of the insides and he put the Holy Communion in the apple. and then put the cap back on it so it would look just like the apple was there, you know? I mean, the, it was whole. And he brought Holy Communion to St. John the Russian in this apple. And our beloved saint received Holy Communion and then gave up his soul to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. So, that's his living story. The story after his life is one filled with remarkable miracles and constant care and constant love. And we have been honored to have him as our patron saint. There was quite a debate with a few families that and others who were interested in this, in our founding of our parish about what name we should have. And so one person wanted St. George, another person wanted St. John, and another person, you know, wanted the name to clearly be English, so we know we identify ourselves, and they had an English saint that they wanted. And St. Nicholas was, so it was decided, how do you resolve this problem, you know, if you have people and each one of them wants a different name for the Holy Church, what, how do you resolve it? And so what happened is it was decided that we would take little pieces of paper and each person who would put one name of a saint, their favorite one that they wanted, and we fold it up, put it in a little cup on the holy altar, serve divine liturgy, and at the end of liturgy have the deacons reach in and pick out one of the lots, I guess you would call it, and open it, and we received our name from St. John the Russian in this remarkable way also. So, some people, I think, you know, they struggle with saints. I think people that are new to Orthodox Christianity struggle sometimes with the whole idea of saints. But, which is in a sense, because we do emphasize saints a great deal. But it, so this struggle, this hardness, as it were, to the idea of the degree to which we venerate saints is, I think, resolved through the incarnation of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and through his death and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. And it's resolved because God sent our Lord to us that we might receive him, and that we might believe in him, and that we might live according to his example and his instructions, so that we can be deified, that we can be transformed from the passions of the flesh to the godliness of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that the marks, as it were, of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Holy Spirit that lived in our Savior become manifest through us. And we have so many. I mean, we could never count all the saints. And we have so many that we have by name. And then there's all these other saints, which must be a hundredfold or a thousandfold, who accepted our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and embraced him with their heart and with their mind and with their strength and with all of their efforts, and were sanctified and made Christ-like. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this day we should give thanks to our patron, St. John the Russian, and we should pray, or we should dare to pray, that our Lord and God will lead us to sanctity. And we might think, well, that's going to be wonderful, because everything that happens from this day on, after I make my pledge to our Savior, is going to be positive. Everything's going to work out, you know, we're going to have all these wonderful things happen to us. And the reality is that we have a lot of pride. Okay, and we have big passions. And it's, and many other faults. Yeah, but the foundation is pride in our passions. And so the thing is in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven and achieve the gift of eternal life, we have to be transformed and sanctified. So all of those energies that are within us that are being, that are gathered up in, as it were, in pride and in sensuality and in all other types of sins, this pride, what binds us, has to be conquered. Spirit, as it were, and we have to be separated from it and freed from it. And this involves struggle, right? I mean, we need to struggle. And the example of St. John is that he struggled, and he struggled in very difficult circumstances, which in a sense might be easier, not easier in one sense, but in one sense, at least he could see the enemy very, very clearly. And yet he internalized what he saw, and he saw that it was the enemy within that had to be conquered. And no matter what the circumstances, we remain faithful, we express our faith in love and in prayer and humility and compassion. And if we do that, no matter what the trials that we have, no matter what falls upon us, we will enter into the love of our Lord and enter into eternal life of purification and sanctification. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.